Good evening, everyone. I too want to greet you in Jesus' name. Welcome each of you to our service tonight. Thank you for being here, friends and family. It's encouraging to see your interest in our service tonight. And God's blessing to you, Kayla and Kimberly, as you enter this new phase of your life. When Jesus was born, the angels came and were rejoicing and praising God. But the Bible also tells us when a sinner repents, the angels rejoice. And I like to think that tonight we have heaven's attention as this special service. You may turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 21. I'd like to read the first six verses. These are verses we reference from time to time, and I'd like to read them again tonight. Exodus chapter 21, verse 1. God is giving instruction here to his people relating to bondservants. He says, "Now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant 6 years, he shall serve thee. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free,' then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." We're not going to go into the details of this, but you very probably see the parallel between these verses and tonight's service. There came a point in their life where Kayla and Kimberly chose to accept Jesus as their Savior, as their Lord and their Master. It was a personal choice they made. They chose to love their Master more than their personal freedom. And tonight, they received the ordinance of baptism, or a mark that identified them as blood-washed saints in the family of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a choice we each need to make at some point in our life. Who are we going to serve? Are we going to go out free? Or are we going to faithfully serve our master? I don't know that there's anything against this servant if he chose to go out free. That was a okay thing for him to do. I give no reflection against that. But I have the choice of serving God and maintaining a relationship, or I can go out, quotes, free. Note how he says it there in verse 2. He says, "You shall go out free for nothing." So you think about your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you were given the option to go out free for nothing, there were no consequences in that choice other than you severed the relationship with your master. Would you do it? Would you go out free for nothing? Or do you say, "I love my master, I'm going to stay"? I trust that would be each of our testimony tonight, that I love my master and I'm going to stick with him, even if I had the option of going out free for nothing. As our relationship develops with our Savior, as we learn to love him more, we can come to the point in our life where I believe we can say that we are not willing to go out free. I'd like to use that for my sermon title tonight, "I Love My Master." Along with the choice to be a Christian comes a commitment. It's an identity. Baptism identifies us with something. It identifies us as a Christian. It's an identity we take upon ourselves as one of Jesus' children, one of God's children. Well, what is baptism? I believe it's something very profound that takes place, and we have a hard time wrapping our minds around it. At least I do, but I want to keep my thoughts simple here tonight. But never forget the depth of the commitment we make in baptism. Baptism is New Testament terminology. Old Testament had many ceremonial washings and such, but we don't see the word baptism until we come into the New Testament. But there it's used fairly frequently. If you were to look in our decree booklet under the section of ordinances, under baptism, it says it is an outward testimony of an inner new birth experience and shall be administered upon confession of faith. Appreciated the devotional about faith. I wasn't sure I had enough about faith in my sermon tonight, but God took care of that. We had a devotional on it. But it's an outward testimony of something that happened in our heart. And we administer it upon confession of faith. The scripture talks about various kinds of baptism, but to keep it simple, I like to think of it in two ways. One is spirit baptism, and one is water baptism. Mark chapter 6, chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." So obviously it's a life or death matter. Choosing to believe is life. Choosing not to believe is death. But why is it so important? I don't think we'll turn to these verses, but in John chapter 3, Jesus was trying to explain it to Nicodemus, and he talked about being born of water and of the Spirit. We have two different things there. We have the flesh and we have the spirit. The flesh is what's our bodies that are born to our parents. But then there's also that spirit part that we need the Spirit of God to come in and rebirth it, to give it new life. There is an inward change. There is a spiritual change that happens, and it's reflected on the outside. And we see testimony of that again tonight as we receive water baptism. It's a reflection of what happened in our hearts. Spirit baptism. Spirit baptism is what happens at conversion. When we see our need of God, we come to Him in repentance, we accept Jesus' blood, and the Spirit of God enters into our life. Spirit baptism gives anyone, Jew or Gentile, it gives anyone entrance into the family of God. When Kayla and Kimberly made that decision to become a Christian, they entered into the family of God. Spirit baptism is what happened at the day of Pentecost. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We see spirit baptism happening. Well, we also have water baptism, like we had here tonight. Water baptism is a testimony of our heart experience. Water baptism is an initiation into the visible church. Spirit baptism brings us into the family of God. Water baptism initiates us into God's visible church. Water baptism is frequently mentioned, first mentioned in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist and his preaching and his ministering and his baptizing, but it's frequently mentioned throughout the New Testament. But one thing you can notice is that it's always part of someone having chosen to believe. And it's a step of faith. A testimony of my belief in Jesus and His ability to save me and change my life. It's more than just a ritual. It's more than we don't just pour water on somebody because they said they want to be a church member or because they're 14 or 15 or 16. It's more than that. It identifies me as a child of God, a part of God's family. It's a change of allegiance. Instead of the world, I'm part of the family of God. 6 points here tonight. I love my master means, number one, that I am willing to act in obedience. Turn to Matthew chapter 3. Now, Anthony referred to this already, so you're going to hear some things twice tonight. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, is where Jesus was coming to be baptized. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And I'll stop there. No, I'm not. I'm going to keep on. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I believe Jesus was acting in obedience to God. We have, it's part of the Great Commission. Jesus directly specifies that we're to go and baptize. So it is a commandment. And here I believe Jesus was acting in obedience to God. He says it's to fulfill all righteousness, indicating that it was part of him doing what God wanted him to do. It was the right thing for him to do. It's part of God's plan for his people. They believe, they're baptized, and they become part of a visible body, his church. Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I believe God finds pleasure in looking down on his people, on our two sisters here tonight. I believe he says, I'm well pleased. It pleases him to see people responding in obedience. And I was thinking about it this morning when Brother Dave was preaching, you know, what better way do we have to celebrate Christmas than to have something like this, where people have chosen to accept the reason for Jesus coming to this earth. God is pleased when we receive his gift. We heard about the gift this morning, whether or not we're going to accept it. God is pleased when he sees us receiving his gift, his only begotten Son. This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased. Several verses from Matthew chapter 7, thinking about being willing to act in obedience. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, we'll break in there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then he goes on to give that story about the wise man who built his house properly and the foolish man who was careless. Baptism is a sign of our commitment to be obedient to God. And we prove that commitment by a life of obedience. We prove the degree of our commitment by the kind of life we build, by how we do the will of our Father. We have the choice of paying attention to and doing it carefully, obeying carefully, or we have the choice of being careless. The man that we call the foolish man and his house did not stand. I love my master means I'm willing to act in obedience. Number two, I love my master means I am dead with Christ and alive unto God. Romans chapter 6. could read quite a few verses here. I think I'll read verse 3 to verse 7. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. And we could keep on reading there, but I want the picture it gives of dying to live. You know, a dead body does not respond. You can prod it, you can throw it around, it doesn't matter. It's not, it does nothing. And that's how someone who is dead with Christ should be to sin. Dead to sin, it doesn't get a response from us. Someone who is dead with Christ no longer responds to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But then we also have the other side of this, the positive side, where there is death with Christ, there is also life. Verse 4 talks about newness of life. Verse 5 talks about the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 7 talks about being free from sin. Verse 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And baptism is a sign of that, that we are willing to die so that we can live. One of the questions Brother Anthony gave to the girls tonight is, are you willing to renounce Satan, the world, all the works of darkness, and your own carnal will and sinful desires? Are we willing to be dead to those things so that we can be alive unto God? Someone who is dead is no longer on his own. It's like we get in the back seat and we give God the driver's seat. Are we willing to do that? Or do we want to keep a hold of that steering wheel so we can control where we're going? But when I truly love my master, I'm willing to let him have the driver's seat. I'm willing to die so that I can have life in God. Where once sin and its pleasures appeal to us, it's now righteousness and the things of God. Number 3, I love my master. It means I have been cleansed from sin. We could go back to Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist was there. What was he saying? Repent and be baptized. He was calling the people to repentance. He was not only telling them to repent, but he was also saying, change your life. Repentance is marked by a change of life. The account in Luke, the writer there says, people came to John. They said, what shall we do? And his answer just touched a very ordinary part of their life, wherever they were. Putting it in my own words, he said, be kind, do good things, be content, things like that. But it was a change. He was calling them to something different. Not only do we repent of what we've done wrong, but we are willing to change our life. Titus chapter 3. A few verses from Titus chapter 3. Verse 3, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. He's not painting a pretty picture here. But then he says, but after the kindness and love of our God and Savior, our man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. It's a work of Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We try that sometimes. We try works of righteousness, and it doesn't work. We need God. We need Christ. Job said, in Job chapter 9, Job said, if I wash myself with snow water, pure water, right? As clean as you can get. If I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. It doesn't work to try and save ourselves. But Jesus can wash us. He refers to the washing of regeneration here. Washing has the thought of baptism. It cleanses us. Baptism doesn't cleanse us in itself, but it's a sign of what has cleansed us, the blood of Christ. He talks about washing of regeneration. What's regeneration? It's rebirth, it's restoration, it's renewal. Again, we have that change. We are clean. Verse 3 there, we read those things, those descriptions he gave, the sins and the things that drag us down, the things that make your life dirty. Those are the old things. Now we're washed clean. We changed into something new. And by the grace of God, we can be made right in his sight, and we can inherit eternal life. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We no longer need to fear death because we've been washed clean by our Master. Number 4, I love my Master means I'm rooted and growing. You find that definition or that description in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. I love my Master means I'm rooted and growing. Verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hand, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Here's one of the results of being buried with Christ and risen with him, like we looked at earlier. It means we can be rooted in him. What happens when you have roots? There's a foundation there. There's something stable there. That's why a tree can stand straight and tall, and it can sway in the wind and it stays standing. It's because it has roots. So our roots are in Jesus Christ. But we're also built up. There's growth and development. You would have no idea there's roots there if there wasn't a tree standing straight and tall. But there's something below and there's something above. Another translation says, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built upon him. Rooted and built up. Picture the tree described in Psalm 1, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I think the writer here was concerned about the direction of travel. He refers to that they don't go back to what they came from. You know, there's a certain comfort zone we sometimes find in what we came from. But he's saying, don't go back. Keep on growing. Be built up. Be thankful for what you have. And allow it to build you up. Verse 9 was also outstanding to me. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I'm not sure I can put thoughts into words or tell you what that verse all means. But being built on Christ develops a union with the one who has the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you try to comprehend that. To have a relationship with someone who has the fullness of the Godhead. And we got to have a relationship with him. It brings completeness and it brings satisfaction to our life. I love my master means I'm rooted and I'm growing. Number 5, I love my master means I can answer God with a clear conscience. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start reading verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the longsuffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Now, I'm not going to try and tell you what all the writer was talking about in these verses, because I'm sure I would make a flop of it. But there are a couple things I would like to point out. Simply this. Only 8 people were saved in that ark. Why was that? The Bible would indicate that there were others who heard righteousness preached. Salvation was offered to them, but they did not accept it. But these 8 people had a clear conscience before God. And the same water that destroyed everybody else was to their salvation. But the others declined the offer. But thanks to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have our conscience cleared. And we no longer need to fear standing before God. We can be ready to face him at any time. And that is one of the big differences between the before and the after. There was a time when we feared to face God because we knew we weren't right with him. But because of what he's done for us, now we can come with a clear conscience. And our love for our master, we keep that conscience clear and we're ready to stand before him at any time. Last point, point number 6. I love my master means I have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3. I'll read verse 26 to verse 29. Galatians chapter 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Kayla and Kimberly, you were baptized tonight, and it means you put on Christ. It means you have clothed yourself with Christ Jesus. No, he's not an article of clothing that we exchange or that we take off from time to time. But Christ Jesus is something we wear all the time. as his children, it doesn't matter if we're sitting in church, if we're going about our social life, if we're at school, if we're at work, we are clothed with Christ Jesus. Now, a person's clothing says something about himself. That is why you instantly know when somebody in a brown suit with a three-letter logo on comes up your sidewalk, you know what he means. He's there to deliver a package. Policemen are the same way. You recognize them by their clothing. People dress to attract attention, and you can make deductions about the person by the way they're dressed. When somebody's trying to do that, that's probably the first thing you're going to notice is his clothing or her clothing when they're trying to get attention. What the Christian is wearing, I don't think should really be outstanding to people. I believe it should be neat and proper, but it shouldn't be what catches their eye first glance. But you know what should be? It's the fact that they're wearing Jesus Christ. The fact that we're clothed with Christ should be very prominent. It affects our thoughts. It affects our words. It affects our deeds. And when people observe us and they see us, they call us Christians because we're acting like Christ Jesus. Our testimony will be a clear expression of what he has done for us. And he also talks there about being part of the family of God. It doesn't matter, Jew, Greek, bond, free, male, female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It makes us part of the family of God. To our sisters tonight, Sister Kayla, Sister Kimberly, welcome to the family of God and welcome to the church family at chapel. Let's kneel for prayer.